We're reading Ephesians chapter 6. We're in the series here, and we're going to read this verse 4 today and return to something we started several weeks ago. You fathers, Paul writes, do not provoke your children to wrath, but instead bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. We find that children, as they're growing up, they need some structure in their life. They need a little fence put around them that will keep them confined. They need the path that they walk on to have little rails or little fences there so they don't go off the track and fall off. And in order to accomplish this, God has given every child parents. The ideal family is a father and a mother, not two fathers and two mothers, as some of in our culture and society want today. God has established a family with a husband and a wife, the husband being the leader of the family, being submissive to the authority of Scripture. So several weeks ago, we looked at the authority of Scripture in the life of every believer, and especially in the life of parents, so that everything we do would be based on biblical principles. We find that Scripture here, Paul begins this verse when he's talking about fathers, includes fathers and mothers, and he says, do not provoke your children to wrath. That is a negative statement. That's the way we are not to raise our children. And we started talking about this last time, and today I just wanted to briefly mention several ways in which parents, wanting the very best for their children, wanting their children, especially Christian parents, for their children to grow up and know the Lord and love the Lord and love His Word and love His church, instead, create little rebels that don't want to obey and honor and respect their parents, much less Scripture, the Word of God, or the church, and instead end up being little rebels. One of the ways that parents do this, we find in the example of Isaac and Rebecca. What started out as a lovely relationship, it says that Isaac loved his wife, when his mother died and they got married. And then as they had their children, we find that Isaac, as time went by, began to favor Esau. Esau used to prepare the kind of food that Isaac liked to eat. And we find instead of concentrating his desire on seeking God, he instead tried to satisfy his fleshly desire for tasty barbecue. And that's why he loved his older son. Rebecca loved the younger son. She loved Jacob. And we find that this family becomes utterly destroyed because each had their favorites. And we find that Isaac and Rebecca did not have a good relationship later on in their life. And these two brothers did not have a good relationship in their life either. In fact, they were constantly trying to kill each other. Sometimes we favor one child over another. Don't show favoritism to your children. Instead, Paul writes, teach them. Teach them from the Word of God. Teach them principles from Scripture. Somebody said that children are little people. In other words, they have the same feelings we as adults have, except maybe they're just a little bit smaller and fewer. But treat them like people. Sometimes we don't treat them like people. Okay? Children are very receptive to how we treat them. Another way that oftentimes this favoritism repeats itself is Jacob. Remember, he had to run away and go establish his life someplace else with his uncle Laban. He repeated the same mistake that he was raised in. Remember, later on, Jacob had a favorite son, Joseph. And what did that cause in his life? It caused struggle between the brothers. They actually sold him into slavery. Favoritism. It resulted in the other brothers being resentful, jealous, hostile towards him. They actually wanted to kill him, but finally simply sold him into slavery. So that is one way that we sometimes treat our children. And it creates a rebellion in children. Another way we do it is that we push children beyond what they are able naturally to achieve. Sometimes parents want their children to accomplish what they themselves have not been able to achieve. And so they push them and they push them and they push them. And say, why can't you be like so-and-so? You see, all that does is instead of us trying to teach our children to be like Jesus Christ, we're trying to have our children be like other people. And this creates hostility and anger in children. And they become resentful. And all they can do is wait till they get a little older and they can leave home and have nothing to do with parents and church. Something else that parents do that provokes children, and this is negative, is continuous criticism. And this is part of this favoritism and part of this pushing children to achieve. Paul addresses this issue in a positive way. Instead of provoking children, he says, positively train them. And you train them, or you bring them up, or you raise them by training them and admonishing them in the Lord. What does this mean? Well, first of all, the word bring them up. There's a special culture in the Greek culture and in the Roman culture where especially rich families, they would have a servant that would be assigned to children. He would be what we call a nanny, except he had a lot more responsibility than a nanny does today. The servant was usually an educated person, and his responsibility is when the child became an adult at 18 years old, he would have been taught to read and write and to know the law and would know how to carry on the business of the father. And oftentimes, this instruction and this teaching in the Roman culture and in the Greek culture, they did not have schools like we have where a teacher stands similar like at our church in front of students and teaches them. They would often have their education or their teaching outside where the teacher would walk around with children and show them things in nature or take them to factories or take them places and give them hands-on instruction. And sometimes the child, when they were very young, they would be someplace where it was dangerous and they would come to the edge of the road where there might be a cliff. And the tutor, the one that would come up alongside the student, he would stand between the edge of the road and the student to keep the student from falling over the edge. That's what the word here means. Bring them up. Come up alongside them and train them and teach them. And Paul gives us two positive ways to do this. The first is training. Training refers to a systematic and a firm but yet a loving education of children. And unfortunately, many parents today, and it's sad, but they emphasize the words in the Old Testament that we find, especially in Proverbs. There's a number of passages that say, spare the rod and spoil the child. And so they believe in physically beating the child in punishment for something that the child maybe is incapable of doing. You never punish children. You instruct them to do right. Punishment is when they willfully disregard the statutes of the Lord. But if the child is physically unable to do something that you want him to do, maybe he spills a glass of juice on your beautiful carpet, that is not something to punish the child for or beat him for. You see, instead, you train him and you teach them. And so there is this formal education that occurs. But more importantly than that, we read in the Old Testament, remember Deuteronomy and other passages in the Old Testament when the law was given to Moses, especially Deuteronomy 4, you read, you will write the words of the law on your doors and on your gates, and you will wear them on your head, and you will wear them on your hands. And when you go in, and when you come out, and when you sit down, and when you stand up, you will talk about these things, and you will teach them to your children. The primary direction and instruction for parents in the Old Testament was to teach their children the Word of God. Now stop and think for a moment. When the child was leaving home, he would be confronted. His eyes would see the word of the Lord written on the door as he's walking out. And when he's coming back in, wherever he was all day, whatever he was doing, whatever he was saying, whatever he was thinking when he came home, he would be confronted with the Word of God when he came home, and he could check his life as in a mirror to see whether when he was outside the home, he had been walking according to how he had been raised. Когда Господь через Моисея сказал, чтобы написали на дверях и на воротах своих Писание, Священное Писание. Когда дети выходили из дверей, Слово Господне сопровождало их. Самое последнее, что их глаза видели, когда они выходили из дверей, было Слово Господне. И когда они где-то пробыли целый день, все, что они делали, все, что они думали, все, что они говорили, когда они возвращались домой, они когда они заходили во врата, там опять встречало их Слово Господне, через которое они могли как зеркало проверить себя, как они прожили день в учении Господнем или в отвержении Господнем. And so we see there was a real and a physical way, a practical way that parents could teach their children. The second word here that we find, and our time is short, but Paul says the admonition of the Lord. This is a word that is an agricultural word that you find when somebody plants a young plant or a tree. And you put stakes next to the tree and you tie the tree to the stakes so it would grow up nice and straight. And by slowly and giving it gentle pressure, you can cause the tree to grow straight and tall. You can also bend the tree and have a tree grow in a crooked direction. You've sometimes seen trees that have funny shapes. You can cause a tree to have all kinds of funny shapes by gently bending and instruct and tying it down. In the very same way with children, you can bend them so far, thinking that you're doing them good, that you can actually break them. You know, you can pull a tree so far that it will actually snap when the little wind begins to blow. But the wise gardener, he does it a little bit at a time, just a couple of centimeters at a time. If he's got a crooked tree, he can gradually straighten it out over several years. And in the children's lives, he can do the same thing. Admonition and instruction in the Word of God. The Word of God is the ultimate instruction manual for children to know the Lord, to know the right attitudes to have towards how they're supposed to treat their parents, to honor and respect and obey them, to honor and respect and obey the Word of God and in church, and to become productive citizens of society. And so my prayer is that God would help all of us, especially those that have children, that we would follow some of these guidelines that Paul lays out for us, and that our children, that they would truly grow up and foremost in their life, they would know the Lord, they would know Scripture, and they would know how to worship the Lord when they come into the house of the Lord. May God bless His word. Amen.